I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time, now 5:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
It is a developing story, heartbreak and disbelief in Uvalde, Texas, where at least 19 kids and two adults were killed in Tuesday's mass shooting at Robb Elementary School.
The suspect was killed in a shootout with police and has been identified as 18-year-old Salvador Ramos. This morning, we are also hearing from some of the victims' families. We begin our team coverage with ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Last night, investigators were seen at a home in Uvalde where Ramos allegedly shot his grandmother before driving to the school. A neighbor tells ABC News Ramos stayed at the home on and off and rarely went anywhere. The day of the shooting, a neighbor says he saw Ramos's grandmother walk out of the home wounded as Ramos sped away.
Ramos attended a high school in Uvalde, Texas, and this morning his classmates are reacting.
If you didn't answer within a few minutes, he'd spam you. Even if you weren't like talking to him like that, like if you'd say hey and you didn't answer, and he starts question mark, which is, you would think, a little weird if you don't talk to someone.
Police are going over the suspect's social media post as they search for a motive.
Several families spent the night waiting for DNA tests to come back. This man says his grandchild is missing and he fears the worst.
How long will you wait?
I'm going to wait all I can, you know. I'm concerned.
The tragedy in Texas continues a string of shootings in the country.
The violence in Uvalde coming less than 2 weeks after 10 people were killed in Buffalo. The FBI reporting 212 mass shootings in the U.S. in the first 144 days of the year. But Uvalde marks the deadliest school shooting in nearly 10 years, reminding the nation of the Sandy Hook tragedy and the call to action that came a decade ago. Since Sandy Hook, Congress has tried and failed to pass gun control legislation.
ABC's Ike Ajachi reporting from Washington.
A former Salt Lake City police chief is reacting to what happened in Texas and is talking about school security here in Utah.
Chief Burbank says the unthinkable could very well happen here and we need to be ready.
We're trusting in a good society here in Utah. It's a great place to live, but I also believe that, you know, there's always more that we can do. And we've got to accept that there is inherent danger in the world. And even in Utah,
Burbank says in Utah, it's a given that high schools and even junior high and middle schools include armed security, but elementary schools do not. He admits that oftentimes we don't want to act proactively on the security front until something horrible happens. Then it's too late. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
In Utah County, there's an ongoing program taught by the sheriff's office for teachers who want extra training on how to react to situations such as mass shootings.
They put this teacher's academy together, and the main purpose of the teacher's academy, talk to them about strategies that they can use to respond should something like that happen.
Sergeant Spencer Cannon tells KSL-TV their program includes de-escalation techniques and firearm training.
Before last night's Game 5 in the NBA Western Conference Finals, Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr held back tears as he addressed the shooting.
I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go.
Stay with KSL News Radio as we update this developing story in Texas throughout the day.
First look traffic, back in the traffic center. It's Andy Farnsworth.
All right, now if you're on I-15, it's a nice drive through Salt Lake, Davis, and Utah counties, whether you're heading north or south at this point. But volumes are increasing in a few spots. Banged it a little bit along the south end, coming over from Riverton towards I-15. No issues, though, in Parley's Canyon or in Weber Canyon on I-80 and I-84. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 5:34.
Governor Spencer Cox thinks free or discounted transit would help Utahns affected by inflation. How likely is that to happen? KSL News Radio's Martha Harris joins us live with the details. Martha?
Amanda, chairman of the Board of Trustees for UTA, Carlton Christensen, tells KSL Tonight UTA is currently doing a study on free transit. He says one of the concerns he has is how financially feasible is free transit.
But if we had a totally free scenario and had heavy ridership, then that's where we would actually have more cost in addition to lost revenues.
Another hurdle for free transit is whether state lawmakers would support it. There was a bill this past legislative session that would have made UTA free, but that bill died in committee. Reporting live, Martha Harris, KSL News Radio.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine intensifying in the Donbas region with nonstop shelling.
We visited a hospital treating soldiers and civilians alike. One trooper had just lost his leg when a mine exploded. A young woman with brain trauma after a shell landed in Liman. Alexei Yakovlenko is the head of the hospital here. He says, every morning I see tears in the eyes of my doctors. I can't speak for the lump in my throat. He struggles to watch all the wounded, but especially the children.
ABC senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell reporting from a hospital near the front lines.
As you turn on the lights this morning, you can be glad Utah has the least expensive electricity in the country. But KSL News Radio's Dan Baumas says that cheap power comes with a cost.
That cost is one of the nation's highest levels of carbon dioxide and other pollutants, 41st, according to a study by the Citizens Utility Board. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the findings were presented to a legislative interim committee yesterday. The majority of electric power in Utah is generated by coal and natural gas-fired power plants, but the picture is changing. Utah's moved up to 36th place in renewable power generation, and Rocky Mountain Power has committed to reducing its greenhouse gas emissions by 74% below 2005 levels by 2030. Dan Baumas, KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.